You cannot be a Christian without embracing the fact that Jesus was all God and all man, mighty God.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe at New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute. Pastor Mark, we are just so close to Christmas now. And as you are about to bring us into the second half of our message, there's hope for the disappointed. Before we do that, give us an encouragement about this Christmas.
Yeah, Joshua, I think we need to maximize our Christmas. I mean, I know there's some mothers running around trying to figure out, I still have to buy a present for this person. I still have to wrap some presents. I still need to buy some food for our Christmas dinner. And it can get stressed out. And in all the hustle and bustle, we can lose Jesus. So I want to pause and just encourage you, whatever your tradition is, to make sure that Jesus and his story is in your Christmas celebration. Josh, one of the practices that we've had in my household since my kids were really, really small.
Let me tell you.
So we do have a Christmas tree and we do have presents under the Christmas tree. But I've been doing this since my kids were really young. I would, before they opened up their presents, we would sit down and I would open up the Bible and I would either tell the Christmas story or I would read the Christmas story. So now I have to tell you, they're kind of anxious looking at the presents and kind of squirmy and thinking it's kind of long. But my point was, and now my kids are adult kids, 26, 24, and 19, but we still do it. I open up the Bible and we say, hey, let's remember the story of Jesus and what we're celebrating. And so I want to encourage you, you don't have to do that, but whatever you do, make sure you insert the message of Jesus. Don't make it just about presents and about gifts. Let's make sure that we make it about the celebration of the God-man being born to redeem our lives.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I got young kids now, and I always like to tell them why. Why do we do this? Yeah. Why are we giving gifts now? What does that represent? It represents the generous heart of a great God who gave the greatest gift to humanity. And then we read the story out of Luke 2. Friends, if you're looking for a place to read, read the story out of Luke 2. And you hear this beautiful story. And we try to sing a song. And as they get older now, we'll see. I got 2, 3, 5, and a 0-year-old baby. So
that's awesome. And you know, there's some Bibles out there like Children's Bible that break it down a little bit more. And I would encourage you, if you have younger children, get a children's Bible and read the story out of that.
We're going to do this year is get a nativity scene.
Yeah.
And just kind of do it, work it out there in front of their eyes. Kids
love
that stuff.
That's great.
Well, friends, maximize Christmas. Here's the second half of our message called Christmas Brings Hope out of Isaiah chapter 9.
Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And then he gives us several names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I want to talk to you just for a moment about these names that were given to this child that was born 800 years before he was born. The Bible says that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. If you look up this word, the word wonderful is pronounced in the Hebrew, pele. It means beyond understanding, too wonderful for words. His name will describe his character. He will be too wonderful for words to describe, and he will be Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is someone that advises, consults, guides. A counselor is someone that kind of walks you through difficult times. He's a coach. He will be amazing, wonderful, beyond description guide and coach. And that's what Jesus is. For those of you that know him and walk with him and experience him, you know that he's the guiding force of your life, that he's the power of wisdom, the one that in difficulty at crossroads, you look to the heavens and say, God, I need wisdom. And he becomes that wonderful counselor. The Bible tells us that, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach his throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. I want you to know this today, that his name, that child that was born, his name is Wonderful Counselor. And I don't know if today you're in a place of confusion. If today you're in a place where you say, the future is unclear. I'm facing major decisions that I really don't know what to do with. I want to remind you today that there was one that was born. His name is Wonderful Counselor. The one that sees into the future because he's not limited by time and space. This one, the Wonderful Counselor, is the one that knows your future and your destiny. And he's willing to guide you when you look to the heavens and say, not my will, but yours be done. Proverbs tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I want you to know that his name is Wonderful Counselor. And today you can get guidance and counsel from that Wonderful Counselor. I want you to know that his name is also Mighty God. You see, Jesus was not just a man that was born a marginalized Jewish peasant born in Galilee that never traveled 60 miles beyond where he was born. He was much more than that. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became incarnate and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. What the Bible tells us is that Jesus, he's always been, he's never had a beginning, he's always existed with the Father. This is core to Christianity. Jesus is not just a good example. He's not a Martin Luther King Jr. He's not a Gandhi. He's not a social reformer. He's not just a good example of a humanitarian person that did good for the masses. Jesus, the Bible declares, is God himself. If you have not understood the deity of Jesus, then you've abdicated Christianity. You cannot be a Christian without embracing the fact that Jesus was all God and all man, Mighty God. Why was this important? Well, because only God himself could be sinless. Only God himself could offer the ultimate sacrifice on that cross. You see, the miracle of the incarnation, the virgin birth, the miracle of it all was that Jesus himself, and some people wonder, well, why did he have to be born of a virgin? If you look down through history a little bit, you'll understand that from the first Adam and every generation after Adam has been born with the sin nature, passed down through the seed of man. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam because Jesus was not born with the seed of man. He was born impregnated into a woman without the intervention of man from on high, God depositing in the womb of Mary this inception of life. There was a reason for that, because Jesus would not be born with the sin nature that is passed down. And Jesus would be born and live a sinless life. Not once was there lying that came out of him. Not once was there hatred. Not once did he violate the commands of God. He lived a sinless life so that ultimately when he would go to the cross of sacrifice, that blood that Jesus shed was not just merely the blood of man. It was the blood of God himself. The perfect, unblemished sacrifice of God. There's no human being that has ever existed that could have been that sacrifice. There's no good person, no Mother Teresa, no good doer that could have ever hung on that cross and paid for the penalty of our sin. It had to be God himself, the Son of God, unblemished, untarnished, sinless, holy. He would be the only sacrifice that could satisfy the justice of God. That's why when he went to that cross, he was all God and all man. Yet amazing as it may seem, think about it. The God of the universe, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign, that knows all things, that waved and the worlds were created, that the angels bow to him day and night, that they fly around his throne calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This infinite God chose to humble himself and package himself as a baby who needed to subsist and exist by nursing on his mother's breast. The God of the universe dwindled down to a baby with diapers. Amazing. Never once did he cease to be God. Never once did he cease to be holy. Never once did he give up his deity. He emptied himself and limited himself, but never once did he cease to be Mighty God. The Bible says his name is called Mighty God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, 31, he says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He's a mighty God. And I don't know what you may be facing today. Maybe it seems like your obstacles are great. Maybe it seems like your challenges are too far for you to overcome. I want you to know that there's a name been given to Jesus, and his name is Mighty God. Not only is he Wonderful Counselor, he's also Mighty God. And if you've embraced him and accepted him and believed him, invited him into your life, you have the power of Almighty God dwelling with you and walking beside you. Amen. Number three, he's called Everlasting Father. There's a great difference between our earthly father and Everlasting Father. He is called Everlasting Father. He has no beginning. He has no end. Yet he functions as a father. The nurture, the protection, the guidance of a father. Not a distant, omnipotent, generic force of the universe, but a caring, loving, involved father who the Spirit surges us inside to call him Abba Father, which means Daddy. That Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us. And the Bible says his name is called Everlasting Father. It tells us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all those of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." There's something about the Father heart of God manifested in Jesus that gives me great comfort as I come to him as one that I know has all power, but one that I know cares deeply. Everlasting Father. Number four, and lastly, he's called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He's a prince. He's the commander of peace.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, "There is Hope for the Disappointed." It's from our series called Christmas Brings Hope. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Isaiah with his message called, "There is Hope for the Disappointed."
When someone rules over something, you say, well, he's the captain of the guard. That means he's in charge of the guard. When you say, well, that's the store manager, it means that that store he manages, he has authority over that store. A prince means that he has authority and rule. Part of his rule is peace. What kind of peace does he rule over? Well, he rules over the peace between us and God. He makes a way so that you and I could have peace with God Almighty. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. I want to say, listen, there's a lot of good people. And there's a lot of people that have died and gone before, that have lived very good lives. There have been martyrs that have come before, but there's no one dead or alive that can mediate between you and God except for Jesus Christ. There is no in between. Oh, I know your mother was a great woman, and I'm sure she loved you and prayed for you a lot. But I'm going to tell you, your mother that's gone on to be with the Lord, she's not receiving your prayers of mediation. That's not her position for you to pray to her that she would somehow influence God. There's one already in that position. His name is Christ Jesus. He's been given access. That's where he is. That's who he is. That's where he belongs. He says, come to me. I give you access to the Father. One mediator between man and God. And that is the Messiah, Christ Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. It tells us in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give peace as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. I heard recently of a man that was somewhat angry at God. And on Christmas Sunday, his family decided to go to church and invited him. It was Christmas Eve. They decided to go to church and invited him, and he said, I don't want to go. I have my issues. You go without me. And they went, and it was snowing quite a bit. There was a snowstorm happening outside, and he heard some bangs in the window. One bang, and he thought it was just maybe the wind, and then he heard another bang, and so it caught his attention, and he walked over to his big glass window in the living room, and he realized that it was birds that had been caught in the storm and were banging against the window thinking that they were going to find shelter, but weren't able to find it. Never happened to, you ever seen that happen? Happened one time in my house. Heard a bang in the window and walked out, and it was a bird. He was laying on the ground. My kids were with me. They said, oh, Dad, that little bird. Dad, what's wrong? I said, no, he's probably just hurt. He was still alive. I said, all he needs to do is he just needs a little help. So you just need to, you throw them up in the air and they'll fly. And so I threw him up in the air like this. He didn't fly. He went, boom. And then I went over to him, and he was kind of jerking, and they said, you killed him, Dad. I said, I was trying to help. Sorry. Okay. They still haven't let me get away with that. The bird that I killed, they call it. I think he was already on his deathbed before I got to him. But some of you are saying, remind me not to invite you to my hospital when I'm sick, when I'm bad, So the man went out to his backyard, and there he found this flock of birds, actually a whole flock of birds that had gathered in his backyard there and were moving around and had been caught by the storm. And so he wanted to get them out of the storm, so he opened up his garage door and he tried to shoo them into the garage to get them out of the storm, but they wouldn't go. And then he got some bird feed and he tried to lure them in there and they still wouldn't go. And then he kind of waved his arms and they were just getting frantic. Thought, these dumb birds. If only they knew they could just get in the garage and be warm and get out of the storm, everything would be okay if they just understood it. And he thought to himself, if I could just be a bird and just be a bird for a moment, I would just talk bird language, and I would tell them, hey, just get in here, you'll be okay. And just as he thought that thought, he heard the bells of the church ringing. And it struck him. Isn't that what Jesus did? Being all God and Almighty God, we were confused and couldn't find our way and didn't know that there was a God way. But he came down and he became like one of us and he spoke our language. He lived amongst us so that we could know that God had made a way. Jesus Emmanuel. And I closed this morning, I was thinking to myself, we're going to close by symbolically lighting a candle. It's kind of a ceremony we do every year, symbolizing the light that came, first of all, through Jesus. You were given a candle as you walked in. And we do it because I try to remind you every year, listen, there's a light that has come, and his name is Jesus. But that light has not been, that light has not been contained to Jesus, because Jesus takes that light, and as he touches our life touches other lives, the light of God. And wherever we go, wherever we walk, God expects us that we would take that light. So as the ushers get ready, and as we get ready to sing a song, I just reminded of the names that my name at birth was Mark. As I grew up, went my way, there was another name, Sinner. It was like everyone else. My sin, my sinful nature, my own rebelliousness of heart took me down my own path. The enemy could have looked at me and said, he's a sinner and he deserves separation from God. He's a sinner. He doesn't deserve to be able to talk to you, God. That's his new name. That's his new identity. And some of you are here, and that's how you view yourselves. You feel like, I'm ashamed to walk into the house of God. How could God ever accept me? How could I ever become clean enough for God's grace upon me? And that's your identity, your sinful past. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ became a man, so that we, humankind, mankind, could become sons of God. And if you've experienced God, then there's another name that comes upon you. The name is Forgiven. You've been forgiven. Well, I know you have a past. But now when God sees you, he sees you forgiven, washed of your past, cleansed. That's not who defines who you are. That's who you were, but that doesn't define you now. Oh, people may still call you by your street name, or they may know who you were. And when they see you, they say, ah, it's you. But what they don't know, oh, you look the same maybe on the outside. Oh, you have the same physical name. But what they don't see is your heart, because what's happened is you're forgiven. And once you're forgiven, oh, there's another name that sticks, and this is the name that I love the most from God. It's the name Son. Behold what manner of love the Father has given and granted us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you've experienced his forgiveness, yeah, I want to tell you, now when God looks at you, he sees you as son. He sees you as daughter of the Most High God. And so when you walk, you no longer have that identity of being broken and lost. You have the identity of, I am a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. When God addresses you, he doesn't call you sinner. God calls you son. God calls you daughter. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God addresses you as a family member. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Christmas Brings Hope. And this was the second half of his message called There is Hope for the Disappointed. This concludes our series. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for a brand new message. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can go to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find a ton of great messages, a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. And we also would love to invite you this Christmas season to one of our New Life locations. We have 27 life-giving churches, and if you log on to newlifechicago.org, that's newlifechicago.org, you'll find all the locations and the times that we meet. We would love to meet you. Please tell them that you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas series. God bless, and have a great night.